안녕하세요. 비수술 탈모 치료 발머스 한의원 윤영준 원장입니다. 저는 탈모인의 가족입니다. 할아버지와 외할아버지 그리고 유독 두피열이 많았던 형은 20대에 탈모가 시작되었습니다. 한의사였던 저는 탈모 연구를 시작했고 두피열 탈모를 정의한 발머스 한의원은 전국 21개 지점이 되었습니다. 형의 탈모는 치료되었고 여자친구도 없었던 형이 결혼까지 했으니 가족의 수건은 이뤄낸 셈입니다. 탈모인의 가족이 치료합니다. 두피열을 내리면 탈모는 얼마든지 치료가 가능합니다. 탈모로 고민하고 있다면 발머스 한의원, 발모가 돼서 발머스 한의원.
네, 저희가 8월 21일 월요일 저녁
Over the course of 2 days from last Monday to Wednesday, for 47 hours, we received reports from 3,009 people who were experiencing problems after using Lillian sanitary pads. 80% of them were in their 20s to 30s. 70% of them said their periods were shortened after using the products. Among them, 35% said that their periods were shortened to 2 days or shorter, and 35% said that their periods shortened to 3 to 5 days. This is abnormal considering that menstruation generally lasts for 3 to 7 days. In addition, 65% said they experienced a change in their menstrual cycle.
65.6%입니다. 저희 휴발성 유기화학물질이라는 유해물질 조사 결과는 이미 지난 3월에
We had actually announced the results of our study into volatile organic compounds found in 10 kinds of sanitary pads back in March and sent them to the manufacturers and the Ministry of Food and Drug Safety. But all we heard back was that there were no legal standards for such harmful substances. The study started receiving public attention recently after there were reports of females who were having health problems after using Lillian sanitary pads. However, we want to emphasize that we have yet to confirm the correlation between the results of our study and the health problems Lillian's pads may have caused. It's still necessary to further conduct a study on whether the harmful substances from the sanitary pads entered the consumers' bodies and resulted in health issues. So we urge the Food and Drug Safety Ministry to carry out an inspection as soon as possible and not limit it to volatile organic compounds as it is doing now, but expand it to other harmful materials that may be found in sanitary pads and strengthen relevant regulations.
그다음에 규제를 강화하는 작업이 시급해 보입니다.
We were just hearing the voice there of Ko Kum-suk, the Environment and Health Director at the Korean Women's Environmental Network. As she just explained, her group has urged the government to test sanitary pad safety even before this Lillian scandal broke out, but was met with a lack of a response. The Ministry of Food and Drug Safety has now decided to inspect for volatile organic compounds in all sanitary pad products manufactured or imported here over the last 3 years. Let's bring in Professor Choi Kyung-ho from Seoul National University Graduate School of Public Health. Thank you for joining us.
Sure. Good morning.
I mean, one obvious question might be, why do they have to put these potentially dangerous volatile organic compounds in these pads in the first place?
When you make a sanitary pad, you need to use adhesive or glue to make the sanitary pad attached to the underwear. And from that adhesive, you are supposed to use certain VOCs. So I think VOCs are coming from those, compounds, products of adhesives that are used in the sanitary pad.
Right. Can you also tell us why the women surveyed here experienced such a range of symptoms from cycle change, flow decrease, increased pain? That seems like a lot going on there in relation to an adhesive.
I don't know. I mean, it's very difficult to identify certain chemical or a group of chemicals that are linked to those health symptoms women are complained about. I think more studies are needed, but VOCs, as Ko Jung-kum-suk just mentioned before, is one of those compounds we are identifying right now. But many people concerned about so other chemicals that may present in the sanitary pad. And in order to understand which compound or which group of compounds are responsible for those health effects, I think we need to identify what kinds of more chemicals are present in the sanitary pad and what portion of those compounds are kind of like explaining health complaints people are talking about.
Yes. Can women who didn't use Lillian products be have peace of mind at all?
Not at all. I mean, because people are concerned about those disposable sanitary pads in general. I think Lilian is one of those products. And in fact, many similar complaints are also raised up by the women who use different products.
Yeah.
So I think we need to look at other products as well. So that's why I think Korean Ministry of Food and Drug Safety also declared that they would look at all the products in the market to identify potential problematic products.
Yeah, I mean, just to reiterate, when we consider all the top selling, the top 10 selling sanitary pads were found to contain volatile organic compounds, according to reports, and potentially other harmful chemicals too. Sadly, this is something that looks like it's going to broaden and spread as a scandal. Child-rearing households are on alert over the possibility of baby diapers also containing chemicals. That we know they contain adhesive. Maybe those adhesives are placed in different parts of the diaper. I don't know if that particularly protects young infants, but what do you make of those concerns?
I think that's very right and concern, because basically these two products are the same product in terms of component used and also the usage itself. In fact, not too many studies have conducted about harmful chemical concentrations of these baby diaper products, but limited study tells that similar compounds, just like volatile organic compound, dioxins, and other organic have been detected from these baby diapers. So I think next step we have to look at is safety issues, potential safety issues associated with those baby diapers.
Yeah. I mean, we've been hearing about this for some time. Now it's coming up as a major scandal, but behind the scenes there have been voices raised against this. The allegation is that the government ignored calls to get tougher on sanitary pad safety before, as we were just hearing before you, Professor. What's the problem with the regulatory system of the Ministry of Food and Drug Safety?
I think it's not only the problem of this Korean Ministry of Food and Drug Safety. I think the same situation is happening worldwide, because, I mean, those ministries cannot in charge of all those potential chemicals, hazardous chemicals that might be present in the product. But looking at those, regulation, in fact, the list of chemicals or the items of quality check for sanitary napkin is very much limited. I mean, among those so many different chemicals, only formaldehyde is within those quality check items. But there are some others, but most of those hazardous chemicals are not included in those regulatory system. So, I think it's understandable, because we cannot control, we cannot look at every chemicals in every product. But when those concerns related to health raised up, I think we are supposed to identify the chemicals or those hazardous agent that might be responsible for a given health issue. And we need to feedback this new information into the regulatory system to make our products safer. And I think this is the time Korean ministry needs to act on that direction.
Professor Choi, thank you very much for speaking with us today on that.
Sure. Thank you.
Professor Choi Kyung-ho of Seoul National University. We will continue now the discussion, though, because some might automatically reach for foreign brands, thinking they might be safer. But we already witnessed that baby nappy scandal out of France earlier this year. The United States has reported tampons causing toxic shock syndrome since the 1980s and 90s. Let's bring in Professor Tracy Woodruff from UC San Francisco School of Medicine, Director of the Program on Reproductive Health and Environment. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
It's a pleasure.
So, perhaps the toxic shock syndrome is completely unrelated to this. I don't know, maybe you can address for us the risks that tampons and other products related to women pose. Me as a man, and many other health and safety inspectors who may also be men, perhaps we're not qualified to make any judgment on this if we don't have first-hand experience of using these products.
Well, I think the last speaker did an excellent job of talking about some of the issues that we have with not just feminine care products, but I think you were talking about diapers, but products in general, is that just in general, we know they're using chemicals in these products, and we either know some of these chemicals could pose a health risk, or for a lot of these chemicals, they haven't been adequately tested. And additionally, we don't necessarily even know what some of the chemicals are that are being used in some of these products because there's not adequate enough disclosures required for many of these products. So feminine care products that you are is an issue because, first of all, every woman who is in the reproductive age life cycle who is menstruating, most of them are going to be using feminine care products because they're using tampons or pads. And these are of concern because if there are chemicals in these products, particularly for a tampon, and you're basically using them in contact with the vaginal wall, which is highly permeable to chemicals, meaning the chemicals, because blood vessels are very near the surface, it's a little bit like your mouth, really, in that you have these chemicals and they get right into the bloodstream, and then they can go directly and possibly cause some type of issue. And so, and because women who are menstruating are using these products every month, they can become exposed to, if there are chemicals in these products, to these chemicals monthly. But there's also other types of feminine care products that can be, that women are using. Some of them are not necessarily recommended by, for example, OBGYNs, gynecologists, but they're basically being marketed to. So douching is a perfect example of another feminine care product, which we see some women using because of maybe they're being advertising or social pressures are giving them the idea that there something is unclean about their vaginal walls, and so they're using these douching products. And we have done research showing that because in the United States there tends to be racial segregation by who is using these douching products, meaning African American women appear to be douching more, and they can be exposed to higher levels of phthalates, which are undisclosed in these products. So it's we have actually seen that some of these products can actually relate to identified exposures. So other types of vaginal products, including feminine washes, deodorants, and wipes, can also, women are using them, and we don't necessarily know what some kind of chemicals are in them. We have some idea about some of the chemicals in them, and we know that we have some idea that some of these chemicals may be problematic for health.
Right. I mean, as you pointed out, our previous guest gave us an excellent overview of the local situation here, and I wouldn't suggest that he's a victim of some sort of gender divide, but when the government has been ignoring women's calls for help, I just worry that in any male-dominated institution, if they don't really understand the products at hand, or if they're not prepared to listen to them because they don't care, is there a problem with the way regulatory bodies approach this, or is this just across the board, whether it's children, men, women, that our drug administrators need to do better jobs at regulating chemicals in what we're exposed to?
Right. Well, I would say first that just in general, it's well identified that we are not keeping up with identifying the hazards and risks, and then promulgating the right regulations to deal with these many industrial chemicals that we're using, not just in feminine care products or diapers or cosmetics, but in many of the different products in all around us. So I think that's a gender neutral, I guess I would say. But I do think with the feminine care products, because you know, women obviously have a very personal experience with these because they're coming into contact with them all the time. They're using them constantly, particularly during their reproductive life cycle, that, you know, they may be more sympathetic to some of the issues because they actually are using them.
Yeah.
That being said, it's still the fact that we don't have that much information about them. But there are other products that, you know, other groups of people, individuals may be using. The diapers was the last example in children. So I think we have different groups are going to be differentially using or sympathetic to some of these, but we should definitely be looking across the board at who is being at risk, potentially being put at risk for these products.
What would your advice be to us then for women, for parents choosing products like sanitary pads or nappies, for example?
Right.
Is it enough just to try to avoid the cheaper ones? Is it enough to look at certain countries as being a good example for safety standards? Is there any kind of a standard we can apply?
Yeah, so I had a couple thoughts about this. First of all, I'm not familiar with the laws in many of the countries outside of the United States and Europe, but I do know that the European Union, for example, has a more progressive chemical laws, particularly with the REACH laws, which require that chemicals be tested to provide data on their potential toxicity and then do evaluation of the risk before these chemicals can stay on the marketplace. And so a lot of chemicals have been taken out of the marketplace in the EU because of this particular law. In the United States, it's not quite as successful yet as what's going on in Europe, but I can't speak for other countries like Korea. But I would recommend that, first of all, in many of these products, less is more. So a lot of advertising that goes on telling you that you need to use a lot of products in your daily life to be clean or attractive or smell nice or et cetera. But in a lot of ways, just going with less is obviously is the better solution. So, for example, douching. Women should not be douching. The American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists in the United States do not recommend douching because it upsets the vaginal flora, and also so it can produce a lot of other adverse health effects besides just being concerned about chemical exposures. The same goes for the feminine wipes, washes, deodorants. Those types of things are probably not necessary, and cleaning with simple soap and water is going to be sufficient. Mm. For those things where women need to have some type of options, for example, like the tampons and the pads, diapers, we would recommend trying to go with products where the ingredients are disclosed and that you have some kind of assurances that they might be safe. It's difficult because we're relying on the marketplace since the government, in a lot of cases, at least in the United States, the government's not regulating them. So one of the other things we really recommend is to speak out or join with groups who are advocating on behalf of women, children, and families to really change the way that the policies are to make sure that they're addressing these kind of chemicals before they get out everywhere and into us, and then it's a little bit late to be addressing these issues after the fact exposures.
Mm, indeed. Professor Woodruff, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right, thank you.
Professor Tracy Woodruff from UC San Francisco there. I mean, a couple of points just quickly to say. Firstly, it is a difficult conversation, this. We're talking about sensitive parts of the body, especially between men and women or different age groups. It can be challenging to even raise this topic. That's part of the problem, though. We have to smash through that for the sake of health of our daughters, of our sisters, of whoever else who might be at risk. The other thing is, this isn't just tampons. As we were just hearing from Professor Woodruff, this has to go beyond this. We've got to look before exposure to chemicals and a whole range of products if we want to protect ourselves. And we're going to broaden that conversation after 8 a.m. this morning. But you can get involved now, pound or sharp 1013 for 51 per message.